Well, the green job that's been around the longest is, of course, farming. How are farmers faring? The latest numbers are in from the 2007 agricultural census, the most recent one. And at first glance, it looks as if farming is a business to get into. The number of farms in America has increased. Overall sales are up by almost half. And direct-to-consumer sales have spiked. But not all is rosy. There are more farms, but they're small. Medium-sized farms are failing, and there were 16 million fewer acres of farmland in America in 2007. We're going to talk to a farmer in a moment, but let's take a look at the numbers first with Carol House. She's chair of the Agricultural Statistics Board that runs the census. Carol, welcome.
Thank you. Glad to be with you.
And you do this every 5 years. You count every farm in the country, every farmer, what they grow, how much money they make, which is fascinating, but why else do you do it?
Well, it really becomes the piece of information, the database that so many decisions are made off of for the next 5 years. Policy decisions on Capitol Hill and here within USDA. County leaders can use this very local information to do planning and bring money into the local community. So it really, from the local level up to the highest level of government, is used.
Well, as we mentioned, there are more farms than there were in 2002, reversing a 60-year trend. But what kind of farms? I mean, not all farms grew.
That's a really good point to make, is that even though the total number of farms is up by 4%, there really are certain types of farm sizes that are growing, and that is the very, very smallest farms and also the very largest. Usually I talk in terms of value of production, and so there was a 65% growth in farms that were over $500,000 worth of sales, and a 9% growth in farms with sales less than $2,500.
Well, and so what's happening to the farm in the middle? We know that the Secretary of Agriculture, Tom Vilsack, was very concerned when your numbers came out because he likens the decline, which is apparently happening, to the decline of the middle class.
Well, they are decreasing, and that is a trend that we've seen for some time. So those middle-sized, particularly the middle-sized family farms, they're making it and growing larger, or oftentimes they're having to get out of farming altogether. And the department does have concern about the declining mid-sized farm. And also a lot of interest in local agriculture. For the first time, we're measuring on the census how many farmers are selling directly to consumers. We're also looking at a lot of the different kinds of trends that are happening in these smaller farms that perhaps will be at least the future for small and mid-sized farms.
Well, in fact, I'm looking at the direct-to-consumer sales. These are farmers' markets or farm stands. That's up 49%. Now, that's still a small fraction of overall sales. It's only $1.2 billion. But it's significant because that money that changes hands stays within that community.
Yes, and it's an important growing part of what the diversity of agriculture looks like right now. We really do have the very, very large farms in the Midwest that you see the combines going over the fields, but say in the Northeast, you're going to have a very different type of farm that's growing and prospering. I was outside of one of the larger cities in the Northeast about a year ago, and I was introduced to a farm operated by five Asian women, and each of them had about 2 acres, and they were growing specialty vegetables for a local market. This is the type of innovative new farming that fits right into the suburban-urban markets, and there's a lot of that starting up.
Well, and you mentioned these, you know, the crops that are being grown. We understand that the commodity farms, the big farms that produce corn or beans or cattle, have declined to make way for farms that are producing vegetables, fruits, you know, aquaculture.
That's right. A lot of the grain farms are getting larger, and so they're consolidating and concentrating. But a lot of these new farms, minority-operated farms, women-operated farms, those types of farms are changing. They're different, and they're finding their niche.
Well, in fact, the number of female operators I read here went up 30%. That's huge.
That's correct. That's principal operators of farms, the person making most of the decisions on the farms. And the majority of those farms are smaller farms. And they're different farms. than, say, male-operated farms. They're less likely to be grains and oil seeds, much more likely to be other crops or other animals.
But we're also reading that between 2002 and 2007, 16.2 million acres of land went out of production. Now, what's happening there? If it's not being farmed, what's happening?
Well, there are a lot of things. Certainly, one of the most common is urban encroachment. Farmland is being taken over by suburbia, by houses, sometimes
right.
It's subdivisions, and shopping centers.
Well, you know, we've had this conversation before with farmers in Pennsylvania, for instance. They believe that Americans should pay more for their food because, in exchange, they believe that as farmers, they're being asked to give up that opportunity to sell their land to huge developers. If you drive through the Pennsylvania countryside, you see all of these, you know, treeless new developments because it's on old farmland. And they're saying, you know what, why shouldn't I sell that land for millions of dollars? Because there's only a certain amount of money you can make on a small farm.
That's exactly right. In fact, there's only a certain amount of money you can make at all in farming these days. But the United States is blessed with really a very economical food supply system. I think we all should be thankful for that, and we should protect it and pay for it.
Well, but even if we did, statistically, it seems that a huge amount of farmers are coming to retirement age. Give us some of the statistics on the age of farmers.
Well, the average age of a farmer in this census was 57.1 years, and that is up almost 2 years from 2002. The number of operators 75 years or older grew by 20%, while the number of operators under 25 years old decreased by 30%.
I would think that those are troubling statistics. We're seeing, too, that operators who are 55 and older control 57% of farmland, while younger farmers, 34 and younger, only control 5% of the land.
That's troubling, and I know that USDA is very interested in getting new farmers in. I think that's the beauty of having the census come along every 5 years, is it gives us this snapshot in time, and it puts out a lot of warning signs that says, hey, we need to pay attention to this issue before it's too late.
And Carol, you know, a lot of Americans feel that American farms are subsidized. Some may be, but your figures show that net farm income in 2007 increased by 84% from 5 years before. That's left over after expenses. That seems like a big increase. Is it deceiving?
Yes. In 2007, like a lot of what was happening in the economy, where the stock prices were zooming up and commodity prices zoomed up to new levels, and then just like the stock prices and the rest of the economy, they fell just as abruptly. So I think the net farm income is accurately measured for that year, but it doesn't tell the long-term story. You know, 60% of the farms actually report less than $10,000 in total sales, and only a million farms show even a positive net cash income from the farming operation. The remaining 1.2 million farms actually depend on bringing non-farm income over to cover the expenses of running that farm.
Right. That's Carol House of the National Agricultural Statistics Service speaking with us about the latest numbers in American farming. Carol, thanks so much.
I appreciate the opportunity to talk to you.
Well, let's bring in John Satz. He runs Woods Market Garden in Brandon, Vermont. John, your farm is what's being called by the Census Bureau mid-sized, on the smaller end of mid-sized, with about $250,000 in annual sales of your own crops. Describe what you grow.
We sell a variety of probably about 50 things in terms of our fields, vegetable varieties, and small fruits like strawberries and raspberries. And then we also have about 7 greenhouses that we sell bedding plants out of, ornamentals, vegetable starts, that sort of thing.
Yep. Who do you sell to?
Pretty much 99% of our product gets sold at our farm stand, which is right on our farm here.
Right. And you also have a CSA so that members of the community can purchase a share?
Yeah, this is the first year we're really venturing into that, where people can have a sense of membership to our farm. And then we're also starting up a small CSA, which would be off-farm in a nearby community, where we would bring a certain amount of our vegetables on a weekly basis to people who don't come up to our farm stand every week.
Well, you seem to be bucking the census trend this year. while many mid-sized farms are closing or becoming consolidated and becoming super farms, your farm seems to be thriving just as is. You have expanded from, what, 25 to 35 acres of field production?
Yeah, we've generally raised about 25 acres of produce for our farm stand. We're adding a little bit of rented land this year, which will allow us to add that acreage for the CSA production down the road. And also, we're collaborating with some other farms. There's a wonderful support now in the state, basically towards us doing some oil seeds crop research. So we are raising some sunflowers and some soybeans on some acreage for our fuel uses and other farms. And then the meal, which is what you get out after you press those seeds, that would be used mostly for livestock feeds.
Well, what do you think of the thinking of John Fisk with the Wallace Center, which promotes sustainable agriculture, that mid-sized farms are the key to sustainability across the country, but that mid-sized farms can't survive the way they are now on farmers' markets and CSAs, that they have to get into grocery stores and restaurants, and if not, you know, farms like yours will always be marginalized?
Well, that's an interesting thought. I think you can easily step back and look at the number of folks like myself who might be supporting themselves through farm stands or farmers markets. It's easy to get lost in the statistics of it and say, oh, it's grown by 300% in the last 20 minutes. Who knows what the numbers are? But I would easily just say to anybody, look at the size of the parking lot at your local Stop and Shop and look at the parking lot at the farmers market. The infrastructure of the country and people's buying habits really has been tied so closely to large grocery stores and mega stores and chains. I don't see that really ever changing fully. Mm-hmm. I don't think you're going to too many farmers markets and seeing boxes of cereal that farmer created. Mid-sized farms would find a lot more success and a lot more opportunities if we were able to access the larger market chain. It's a whole different effort and relationship, and there's some people who have really mastered it and done well with it. And myself, I really prefer to be more directly related with my customer.
Do you think as a smaller, mid-sized farmer that you get help on the state and federal level through policies that you need?
I think Vermont has been very pro-farm in their policies. I think it's still a very major part of our state economic infrastructure. It's a little bit different. I used to farm and live down in western Massachusetts. I've felt a little bit more welcoming support from the state of Vermont in terms of supporting agriculture as an industry.
Like what? What would be a policy that, you know, gives you a little hand up?
Just a real quick one would be in Vermont, the way properties are taxed.
No.
If you're a farm-based property and business and family, it's more or less zeroed out, so we're not paying taxes on our buildings that are used for farming, and say the land-based value of what we're paying taxes on is greatly reduced. Not all farmers are enrolled in that program. It's voluntary, but it's an option out there for people. There's also a really strong the right to farm laws, which are popular in certain parts of the country, that's pretty strong in Vermont. It is having challenges as more of the state is becoming suburbanized. People move to the country, they want the view of the country, the feel of the country, but they don't want that.
They don't want to smell chickens.
You got it.
There you go. Well, we know you've said that having a small, mid-sized farm in a community, you can get to respond to people, you have less trucking, food is fresher, it doesn't take 2 weeks to cross the country, saves farmland from development. We talked about that earlier during the census report. But why else is it important to have these farms?
It's kind of a win-win situation where we might have anywhere around 15 people working here during the summer. So there's a fair amount of jobs for the community. And then all the different businesses around here that we're networked with, whether it be repair shops or equipment places. You know, agriculture is at our roots. It doesn't take much to understand that that's a pretty strong part of our culture and who we are and our ability to survive. So it's, I think, pretty important to keep it going.
John Satz operates Woods Market Garden in Brandon, Vermont. John, thanks so much for speaking with us.
Well, you're welcome, Robin. I appreciate it.